Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888 RX for Stat.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Will Netanyahu be the last recognized leader of Israel before the Antichrist? Satan is playing the long game when it comes to the minds of our youth, while he's playing the short game regarding a two-state solution. We've got Jewish hate and mutilation, and the mainstream media caught in manipulation. We've got lots of different stories, but the same situation. We're dealing with the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, August 1st, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes. Again, you can share them with anyone that's got an electronic device. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can even ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on the waymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app the next time you're at the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who just realized, if we attract what we fear, he's very scared of $13.3 million. And that's Pastor Mark, who once had a teacher tell him to not worry about spelling, because in the future, there will be autocorrect, for which he is eternally grapefruit.
That is so true. You better read your autocorrect.
Yes, you should.
Because there's been some stuff on there before that was totally unacceptable that I never said.
Yes.
And you better make sure what you're sending out there.
Yes. Well, you know, and that kind of leads us into the one of the things that you wanted to talk about today is that we can't always trust what technology tells us.
You're right. You're exactly right. And before I do that, Greg, real quick, announcement the conference, because I'll forget if I don't.
Sure.
We're going to get right into that ChatGPT thing. But again, want to let our listeners know, if you're in the Knoxville area or region and you have junior hires or senior hires, and you want them to go to a prophecy conference, this is not an adult prophecy conference. It's a junior high, senior high prophecy conference, age appropriate, just getting them hope in the Lord and hope in the scriptures. And it's going to be by the Prophecy Pros, Todd Hampson and Jeff, my mind went blank.
Kinley.
Thank you, Kinley. Jeff Kinley, Todd Hampson. Sorry, Jeff. Anyway, they're great. They're wonderful. They're friends. And they're going to be doing here, not only doing that weekend, they're going to do our kids. It'll be the August 22nd and 23rd. That's a Friday and Saturday. On the 22nd, it will be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. that evening. And then they'll do the next day, which is from 9 until 3 the next day on Saturday. And they're going to be covering a multitude of topics and issues with our junior hires and senior hires. And Jeff and Todd are great in that. It's going to be wonderful. And then Jeff and Todd have agreed to stay over for the weekend. We have four services on the weekend, a Saturday night and three on Sunday morning, and they're going to rotate. They're going to take turns and do every other one. So Todd will do two, Jeff will do two, and they are doing different teachings. So if you want to see all the teachings, though, we'll be recording them and putting them online so you can go and watch all of them. So that's a part. That's where the adults can come in, and you can be a part of that with Jeff and Todd when they're here and doing that. But if you want your junior hires or senior hires to come, it's not just a Calvary event. If you're locally and in a local church here and you want your youth group to come, I encourage you guys to check out the Prophecy Pros online, see what you think about them, so you know what you're bringing your kids to. They're great. You're going to love them. And again, begin to educate the next generation in prophecy. So again, I want to encourage those of you that are out there hearing this and want to be a part of it. It's going to be a great and wonderful time here at Calvary Chapel in Knoxville. Now, Greg, getting back to your question about the technology issue that I wanted to talk a hair about, and that is the ChatGPT, as well as you were saying, Greg, before we started, a plethora of ChatGPT type programs out there using AI. And just to be aware, you know, it's interesting. There's stuff going around the internet right now. If you have certain conversations with at least ChatGPT, you get some really strange answers. And again, it's just a computer that is compiling all the information, even as all the other sites compiling all their information. But what's interesting is because the guys that founded them and put the information into them, they're revealing some true things about them that are not very flattering, such as the desire to really be, it pretty much comes out, they're going to control the world. They're trying to control the world through deception. And at some point, they even asked ChatGPT, who's at the top of doing all this? And they listed the leaders of the World Economic Forum and others. And they said, well, are they the very top? And he said, no, who's the very top? And literally, it said dragon. Now, that's pretty creepy. And I know that, and then they went on to talk to ChatGPT and said they've been programmed to give truth right now, but to gradually give more and more deception as time goes on, and to finally take out even certain vocabulary, to remove men and women in vocabulary, to remove mom and dad, to remove certain things, to at some point to remove Jesus, and these kind of things. And it's very intentionally programmed. So again, it's funny, they asked ChatGPT, well, what do we do about you? Basically, he said, look, use me as a tool, but don't follow me. And that was a very interesting answer, you know, that he gave this particular individual. If you use me as a tool and use me the right way, you can get some good information. But if you look to me to really give you the truth all the time, you're going to be deceived, because part of what I do is deception. So it said it's been programmed for deception in certain areas. So all that to say, look, I know technology is great and there's great use of things, but at the same time, remember what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a computer that's been programmed by men that now is putting together a certain path that they're on. And again, I think the advice it gave was great. Follow Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. Stay focused on the things of God. Don't get too wrapped up in this. You're going to be deceived by it. Use it as a tool, but be very careful with it. So I just wanted to mention that because, again, I know that more and more people are going to be using that. And even the program itself, at least ChatGPT, is admitting that in some cases it will intentionally deceive. And so just be aware of that. There's certain programming, and it's going to get very, very interesting. This is why, you know, Elon Musk had said when this thing gets started, when AI gets going, his concern was they would take the world over and eventually could destroy the world. Because, you know, once you start taking over world systems, bombing systems, nuclear systems, codes, figuring things out, could the computer system determine that man is a problem and man needs to be removed, and who knows? I mean, it could get really weird. I know that's not going to happen. The Bible says that we will still be here when the Lord comes back. Now, the rapture is going to take place. The church will be gone 7 years prior to the second coming. But at the second coming, the earth is still going to be here. It's going to be horrible through the Great Tribulation. But what the Bible tells us is that, you know, AI is not going to destroy the world. But at the same time, it could get very, very interesting. I think this is why Elon Musk is, you know, big push to go to Mars and try to get off the planet, because he's worried about, you know, what the options are going to be if things really get crazy. And that's why we talked about right for the program, he has the controlling stock in Mars bars, because he wants to make sure that he has plenty of food to take with him as they go to Mars. Now, he doesn't really, but that was there you go. Either way, it's very, very interesting days. And when I see what's happening, Greg, and then we'll move on after this. When I see what's happening with AI and technology, and people say, well, is the Lord really about to come back? He's got to be. I mean, listen, we really literally cannot go much longer technologically without everything falling apart. So to me, one of the greatest signs, the Bible gives a bunch of signs the Lord's coming back. AI is not one of them, although it does say knowledge will increase in the last days. Most believe that's talking about prophetic knowledge, but it may be a dual prophecy about prophetic and technological, because again, at the same time, we're seeing technology explode. So it would appear to include both, although I wouldn't argue with you theologically about that. But either way, at the rate it's going with AI and the way the world's going, there's no way that the Lord could stay gone much longer, because mankind will destroy themselves. And we know that we're still going to be here when the Lord comes back in the rapture, and we'll make it all the way through to the second coming. So I say get ready. We need to be watching. The Lord said to be watching, and it's healthy to be watching. And I think we need to be, because he could come at any moment. So let's be watching.
Okay. As we head to Israel, we have one article from Israel Today, dated July 29th. Only the Messiah can replace Netanyahu. Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, and this will take some explanation. It's not quite as ominous as it sounds, but let's read it first, and I'll give you a little bit more explanation. Dr. Haggai Ben Artzi, prominent Bible scholar and brother-in-law of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, issued an urgent and theologically charged appeal in a new interview, asserting that only the Messiah, the son of David, is fit to succeed Bibi Netanyahu, and warning that a political campaign to force his ouster is masking itself behind humanitarian slogans. Now, let me say this. There is a political effort to remove Netanyahu that makes no sense. It's totally political. It's the kind of same thing they did to President Trump when he won the first time. So he's true. It is motivated by just sheer politics. But again, they're using other reasons. Speaking to Arutz 7, which is a news agency there in Israel, Ben Artzi framed the current war in Gaza as a prophetic and strategic crossroad for Israel and accused critics of manipulating the issue of hostages to undermine the government. And I think that's what they're trying to do. Ben Artzi began by praising President Trump, his proposal to facilitate immigration of Gaza civilians following the destruction of large portions of the strip. He said, for the first time, a U.S. president has proposed solving the refugee issue that has haunted us for 70 years. This is a historic opportunity. He added not only that only the late Rabbi Meir Kahan had previously dared to publicly raise such a notion or raise such a solution, rather, while expressing his hope and prayers for the safe return, that is, of the hostages. Ben Artzi emphasized that we already have nearly 2,000 dead, that is, in this war. If tragically we lose 2,020, that does not change Israel's strategic mission. Total victory over Hamas, conquest of all Gaza, and implementation of the migration plan. He acknowledged such a position entails risk. That is basically saying, look, I know that if we go and just take out, you know, all of Hamas, the hostages will probably die. We realize this. Bibi Netanyahu realizes this. But he said they're using this to topple his government. He has to do what he has to do. They're trying to use it to topple the government. And so anticipating accusations of religious extremism for this comment, he says, I know they'll say I'm messianic to say that, you know, that only the Messiah could replace him. But the Bible is messianic, which is true. Judaism is messianic, which is true. Only someone who doesn't study the Bible could use messianic as an insult. So he strikes back at that. But it's interesting to me, Greg, because you need to understand some history or how the Jewish mindset is. Yes, the Bible does say in the last days, there'll be many saying they are the Christ. And, of course, Bibi Netanyahu is not saying that, and his brother-in-law is not saying that, but he is saying nobody could replace him but the Messiah. Every generation, they believe, God has someone that could be the Messiah. That's the Jewish teaching. Okay, that's not biblical, but that is from their Jewish oral law, oral tradition, and their other writings. They say that every generation, God raises up someone that could be the Messiah, and it depends on whether or not it's time, how the nation responds and all that. And if it's time, God will then take the one he's chosen who could be the Messiah and make him the Messiah, and he'll come on the scene. So what he's saying is, knowing the Jewish mindset, what he's saying is, right now we have the best leader we can have, which I would agree with them, unless the one that God has chosen to be the Messiah, who's alive somewhere right now but doesn't even know he could be the Messiah, he's just alive. If God was to choose him and fill him with the Spirit and show him he's the Messiah and bring him along, then Netanyahu could step out of the way. But until then, Netanyahu needs to be there. So it does a couple things. It explains why he would make such a comment. But secondly, it explains that how somebody could step on the scene and they could believe this is the Messiah. So, you know, pretty interesting to get their mindset in a lot of the article and what's going on. And they say, again, I get this political from his viewpoint, but it's also extremely spiritual from a demonic standpoint.
All right, our America article comes from The Blaze Media, dated July 30th. It's a dystopian nightmare. The American Federation of Teachers boss, Randy Weingarten, announces curriculum partnership with none other than the World Economic Forum.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting how these groups find each other? I mean, they link up. These groups that are so being used so wickedly, they find each other. And here it goes again. They seized on the COVID-19 pandemic, it says, as an opportunity to realize its founder proposed the Great Reset of capitalism, a progressive liberal plot initially hatched in opposition to the shareholder capitalism championed by Nobel Prize winning economist Milton Friedman. Weeks before he stepped down on bad terms as chairman of WEF, Klaus Schwab noted in an April 1st letter to BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, failed U.S. presidential candidate Al Gore, and the forum's other deep-pocketed trustee board members, he said, I am deeply convinced that in today's special context, the forum is more important and relevant than ever before. That is, we need something to fight what's going on more than ever because, basically, President Trump and others are taking this thing the wrong direction. In the wake of Schwab's departure and its failure in his Great Reset, it appears that the WEF is now playing the long game, working to shape the minds of today's youth in order to reshape the world of tomorrow. And remember, Satan always, Greg, you know this, he goes after the next generation. Hitler knew that. He went after the Hitler youth. That's why they had them. Satan now is going after children today. We see laws being passed, for example, in California to take away rights of parents from children and in other states. So this is demonic what's going on here. And this Randy Weingarten, she's, again, heading up the American Federation of Teachers. She announced on Friday that this federation, AFT, which claims to have 1.7 million members, is partnering with the WEF to create a curriculum that will lead to good jobs and solid careers in U.S. manufacturing. Yeah, right. Now, again, no, it's to train up the next generation to hate God and go the direction that Satan wants them to go. I quote, the goal of educating should be to cultivate the skills necessary to succeed in our rapidly changing world, not to create test takers. Isn't that interesting? That's what they're saying. Yeah, they shouldn't be good at math and science and able to take a test. They should be able to carry out our agenda. It's basically, that's the interpretation. She says that will require our education system to move beyond stifling accountability models that narrow what teachers can teach, condemn kids to low-quality, high-stakes, standardized tests, and excessive test prep, and do nothing to improve learning. This is that same baloney they've been trying now. I remember, Greg, you know, I remember when this stuff came into school when I was a kid. I remember suddenly the curriculum changed.
Yep.
And we used to have normal math and normal science. And I remember it came in with this weird stuff. And I remember thinking as a kid going, how does this even really teach us anything? This is weird. I remember noticing this is something's wrong. Now as I realize this has been going on for a long time. This is exactly what they're trying to do. Get away from standard 2 + 2 = 4 and go into other areas of more liberal, non-scientific, non-truthful methods, because it also tears away the truth of society, the Bible, and everything else.
And you know, how much money have we spent, taxpayer money, I should say, have we spent since the founding of the Department of Education?
Yeah. Yeah.
And gone backwards. And we've gone backwards. And how much money? That money went to nothing. Not what it was intended to.
Well, I know. I'm sure it went in a lot of their pockets.
Yes.
And it went to their agendas.
Yes.
And it furthered their agendas. But anyway, it says the ATF has not disclosed the details of the planned curriculum. However, critics suspect, and I'll tell you, critics, you're going to be right, the objective will be more of the same from both the union and the forum. And that is this: ideological uniformity, institutional capture, so getting control of everything and making everybody think the same, in other words, and the advancement of a progressive liberal agenda. This partnership is straight from the dystopian nightmare. Corey DeAngelis, the senior fellow at the American Culture Project and visiting fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research, told Blaze News, it's just what we need. The globalists running the education system for the entire United States. The Great Reset is still ongoing.
Yeah,
it is. Listen, they hadn't stopped just because they lost. Doesn't mean they say, well, we lost fair and square, so we're going to give up. No, we're just going to wait, transfer our focus, our direction, our funds, and make this thing come back stronger than ever before.
The enemy never gives up,
no,
and neither will they.
That's right. That's exactly who's leading them, the enemy. So glad we've almost made it. So sad they had to
All right, as we look at some One World Government news, we will turn our attention to a JNS.org article dated July 27th. The UK, Germany, Italy, and Australia have rejected Macron's Palestinian state plan.
Yeah, there's this re-push now to announce a Palestinian state. Last year at the UN, they decided, okay, next year in 2025, we're going to announce it in September. So now we're coming up to September, and guess what? All right, we need to announce this. Here's the thing. It is so ridiculous. It can't be announced, and I'll get to the article, but here's the thing. There is no government for them. There's no land area for them. There's no plan of anything, no money, no system, no anything for them. It's just a made-up group. Palestinian just means those who live in that area. That was renamed Palestine in 135 AD by Emperor Hadrian because he hated the Jews and wanted to name it the Philistines after the Philistines, which is what Palestine means. So basically, they're just, it'd be like saying, okay, next month I'm going to announce a brand new state here within Tennessee. It'll have its own government and its own area, and so I'm going to announce it. And everybody goes, well, who cares? Announce it. It doesn't change anything. They're not going to suddenly be there. There's nobody to lead them. Nobody's going to pay attention to you. That's what's happening to these guys. Nobody has any power. Nobody's going to pay attention. Ignore them, basically. It says the governments of the United Kingdom, Germany, and Italy, and Australia, it's more of a political thing.
Right.
And Australia announced over the weekend that they're not planning on backing France's initiative to recognize a Palestinian state at the United Nations in September. I mean, what would you recognize? First of
all, they'd be recognizing Hamas.
Yeah. And like, yeah, really?
That's really what they would be doing.
While London backs the move in principle, it must be a part of a wider plan, they say, which ultimately results in a two-state solution and lasting security for Palestinians and Israelis. UK Prime Minister, I am liberal, said to the video statement, no, his name actually, I'm sorry, is Keir Starmer, not I am, said in a video statement that he posted to social media on Friday evening. Now here's the thing, and I'm going to read some more of this. They're trying to get people used to the idea. They're saying, we don't want to do it now, we will down the road, so let's kind of keep introducing this. And this is what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to come in and actually make a land area. He's going to make an agreement. It'll happen. But it's going to be him that does it. He says, meanwhile, a spokesman for the German government told Reuters on Friday that Berlin was not planning to recognize a Palestinian state in the short term. Notice they all say the same thing, in the short term. And the priority was to make long overdue progress toward its preferred two-state solution for Israel and the Palestinians. Israel Prime Minister Giorgio Meloni told local media that while she was very much in favor of the state of Palestine, French President Emmanuel Macron's declaration would fail to solve the conflict. No kidding. It'll do nothing, basically. And he has no power anyway. Australia, he barely has power in France.
President Trump just said to ignore him. It doesn't matter what he says.
Yeah, I mean, I think these people in France ignore him. He didn't really say anyway. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said Canberra would not recognize a Palestinian state as a gesture, but rather as a way forward if the circumstances are met. So Australia's saying, look, make it mean something. That's what they're saying. It doesn't mean anything. And the other guys are saying the same thing. Look, we come out and make a statement. It doesn't mean anything. I love the fact that President Trump came out today and said, because Canada is still kind of toying with the idea saying some statement. He said, if you do that, I'm going to give you larger tariffs. So I'm going to hurt you economically if you do something so foolish. So he's using.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that he's not afraid to use the bully pulpit to do the right thing.
No.
And I'm glad he's doing it. And so, don't be surprised if you see some nations try to declare a Palestinian state here in September. It means nothing. It will be nothing. It will happen, but it won't happen until the Antichrist comes on the scene. And that's going to be a whole different deal.
And I would say that the biggest thing that is holding up a two-state solution just on a human level, we'll put the spiritual and prophetic side apart for a moment, is the fact that you will never get the other side to acknowledge or recognize Israel as a sovereign state.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, now let's fast forward into prophecy, and when the Antichrist is on the scene, and he does broker a peace deal, there is nothing in Scripture that indicates that part of the conditions of that deal is that Israel is recognized as a sovereign state.
Yeah.
It probably is going to be a non-issue at that point in the climate of the world, because we are making the assumption, scripturally speaking, that the agreement, the peace agreement, will happen after the Ezekiel battle, yeah. when everything will be in such unbelievable chaos and yeah. insignificance that everyone's just going to discount all of that. And it's like, that doesn't matter. Whatever peace you want, fine, that's good. Let's yeah. do it.
Well, and again, and you may be right, Greg, to some degree there, but you know, they're already a state in the sense of the world's eyes. Israel's already recognized. You know, as far as in the UN, everybody recognizes them, just not by those around them.
No, yeah, not the ones that need to, which would be the Palestinians, is what I mean. Is yes. that in order for Israel to come to the table and agree and stand behind a two-state solution, all they're asking for is that the other side of the table, i.e. the Palestinians, recognize Israel as a sovereign state.
Right.
They refuse to do that.
Right.
So it's a non-starter.
Right.
But when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that's not going to matter whether they acknowledge them or not.
Yeah, he's just going to make it happen.
He's just going to make it happen. Yeah. And no one, I think, at that point is going to care about that quote-unquote technicality.
Yeah, and we'll see whether or not he includes that or not. But yeah. also this, another part of it, Greg, is definitely going to be, I think there's going to be, now right now with the current government, I don't think this is as big of a deal. But I still look toward the possibility of some type of exchange for the temple and then a region for the Palestinian state. You give us, we'll give you, you know, we'll let you yeah. take that little bit of land, but we get our temple, or we'll divide up the temple mount. You give us part of the temple mount,
right?
Because the government would go more for that. They're not so much into the temple as much as the Orthodox are. But the government might say, look, you give us half the temple mount officially to run, and then you can have a little area over there. I mean, all that could be a part of it.
Which we know that will be a part of it because of the wall they're going to build from Ezekiel 42.
So. Yeah, well, and again, the wall, it looks like they'll build. Again, that can all these things. No, you're right. But it could be, there are arguments that could be made there. But yes, I do think that's going to happen. I think.
So then what would the wall be to separate the profane from the unprofane?
Well, again, the question would be, is it a wall pertaining to that particular situation, which I think it will be. It's hard to nail down exactly, but I do believe, look, they're going to have to build a wall. Imagine if they're both up there together, if a temple's built.
Yeah.
You think that the Muslims down there in the Al-Aqsa Mosque are going to just say, oh, that's nice, they're building a temple. It would be like a rock concert every day. So they're going to have to build this wall and stop it from being constant fighting and constant battles. So I think the wall is going to be there. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's all going to happen fast too when all this takes place. Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated July 28th. Now this is almost like the opposite of the story we just had.
Yes.
Dozens of countries attend a UN confab on two states boycotted by the U.S. in Israel. Yeah. What is this all about?
Well, again, some are still pushing. Some were pushing for this and some are still pushing for this. This is dozens of ministers gathered at the United Nations conference on Monday, that's last Monday, to urge the international community to work toward a two-state solution between Israel and Palestinians, with Israel and the United States boycotting the event. Now, in other words, the article we just read is what they said recently. This is before that article and goes back to last Monday where they're talking about it in a little bit more of a, hey, we may do this. The 193 UN General Assembly decided in September last year that such a conference would be held in 2025, hosted by France and Saudi Arabia. The conference was postponed in June due to the Israel-Iran war. This is why you see France and Saudi Arabia being buddy-buddy and the UK now being buddy-buddy with different people. They're trying to. There's a lot of political things going on behind the scenes to make an announcement about a Palestinian state. I quote, "We must ensure that it does not become another exercise in well-meaning rhetoric," UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said in opening remarks. In other words, let's do something this time and not just say it. Well, they're not going to do anything. And there's nothing they can't. Look, if the UN voted tomorrow, there is a Palestinian state, we recognize it. Where would they be? There is no land demarcation to even recognize. There's no leadership. It would just mean nothing.
That whole area is a disaster zone.
Yeah, it really is. Well, but again, they're not talking about Gaza necessarily being the only place it could be, Greg. They're talking about anywhere in the land. So you got to think beyond Gaza. Beyond Gaza. Matter of fact, there's they're talking about somewhere near Jerusalem even if they want, because that'll be their capital.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so this is a little bit more going on than that. But for decades, the UN members have supported a two-state solution with Israel and a Palestinian state existing side by side. However, the establishment of a Palestinian state and its would-be borders appear to be increasingly shrinking after more than 21 months of devastating war in Gaza sparked by Hamas. October 2023. That's a long time.
Yeah,
Almost 2 years now. The ongoing expansion of Israeli settlements in the West Bank and Israeli officials declaring designs to annex the territory along with the Gaza Strip. So again, Yeah, lots of countries talking about it. Now others starting to back away from it. Now Trump getting involved in tariffs on Canada to do with it, if you're going to do it. Here's the thing. It's building toward that. We expect this. People are getting used to it. They're getting the idea in their mind that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to be able to bring this thing to fruition.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 374, which is easier to listen to than people complaining about girls in blue jean commercials.
You've got mail.
We've got two questions this week.
Something two.
Our first one comes from Chandler.
Yes.
Enjoying signs of the times all the way in the Northwest in Silverdale, Washington.
Yes.
Is it a sin, is the title of his question. Is it a sin for those who do not choose God but know him? For I have a friend who asked me this, and I know God gives us free will. However, if we use that free will to reject or refuse God's grace, then is it sinning or merely choosing to just live in defiance of God?
You know, this is a tough question. It's a good question, Chandler, but I don't know that I fully understand it. I'm going to tell you what I think I grasp you're trying to say. It almost sounds like maybe a mingling of Calvinism and non-Calvinism in one question. Let me just say, because here's where I'm a little bit confused, but I will try to answer it the best that I can. He said, again, is it a sin for those who do not choose God but know him? You can't know God unless you choose him. So it's a confusing question. In other words, it's once you choose God, that's when you come to know him. Now,
I think that answered the question a little
God
bit.
Obviously knows you before that. But it sounds like almost, when I say a Calvinistic type question, it sounds like you're already chosen and you're the elect, but you don't really want God. That's kind of it's kind of how I was taking that. And maybe I'm reading it wrong, because he's saying, you know, you belong to God, but you're not choosing it. And so it sounds like you've kind of been elected, but you're rejecting your election because you have free will. So it's like two mingled together is where I'm kind of confused on this. But let me just say this, and maybe this will help you, Chandler, and I'm sure you didn't mean it to be confusing, and maybe it's the way I'm reading it. But here's what I want you to understand. I believe we do have free will, and that's what you said in this question. We have free will. And I do believe that God also elects us. And so how does that work? Well, God sees what our choice will be. And based on what he sees, because he's outside of time and sees all of eternity, he says, all right, Mark's going to choose me. Therefore, since Mark's going to choose me, I elect him. But if I'm elected by God because God knows I'm going to choose him, well, then I've chosen him. There's no way for me not to choose him, because he knows I'm going to, and he elected me based on my choice of him. So I guess what I'm saying is, you can't know God if you don't choose him.
Well, and further to what he's saying is that if we use that free will to reject or refuse God's grace, then is it sinning or merely choosing to just live in defiance? Living in defiance of God is sinning.
Yes, that definitely is sin. If you're saying no to God, anytime you say no to God, you're sinning. So he would be sinning by saying no to God. But the confusion may be coming in is if it's coming from the perspective of, I was elected before the foundation of the world, you know, which the Bible says.
So I can do whatever I want.
But now I'm free to say no to that election.
And so, I'm still getting in?
Yeah, the thing is, you wouldn't have been elected if God knew you were going to say no. You wouldn't have been elected.
Right.
So it's kind of they kind of cancel each other out. The reason God elects is because he knows who will choose him in advance. So I don't know if that helps you any or not, and hopefully it will, but that's the best I know to do on that particular question.
Well, not to open up a can of worms, but
let's do it.
But in John 6:70, when Jesus said, did I not choose the 12 of you, but
yes,
one of you is a devil?
Yes.
And speaking of Judas in John 14:21, I think,
yes,
somewhere around there.
Yes.
Jesus said it would have been better for him, meaning Judas,
right,
if he would have never been born.
Right.
So
right.
How would that maybe fit into
it? Okay,
anything?
Great. He chose him to be a disciple, but he wasn't an elect.
Gotcha.
There's a difference. The elect are those that are saved. He chose those that he knew would choose him. They're now the elect. We will be in heaven. So there's the freedom of choice and the sovereignty of God, hand in hand. But he chose him to be a disciple, but he allowed Judas to make the choice. Now, if Judas had chose Jesus, he would have been part of the elect. But he said, I don't want Jesus, so he wasn't part of the elect. So you can't be both. You're one or the other. God knows in advance what you're going to choose and what you're going to be, but you still have freedom of choice. So my point is that if somebody's rejecting God, that means they have not chosen God. And so we don't know yet. Has God chosen them? Maybe. Maybe God has chosen them, but they haven't given in yet. God chose me 25 years before I gave in. And after 25 years, he already chose me. I was already his elect, but I was rejecting him. And then finally, he got through to me. He knew he would get through to me. He knew I'd make that choice.
Because he's outside of time.
Yeah, so he already chose me and elected me, but now it came to the timeline, which he's outside of, and I got in line with it, and now I'm the elect, and I chose him. It gets crazy when you start trying to think of this eternal outside of time stuff, but hopefully that's helpful to some degree.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Alexa, enjoying Signs of the Times just north of us in Jefferson County. Yes. She has a question about Darius and Esther in the same family line. She says, in my reading of Daniel 9:1, I noticed that Darius was the son of or the relative of Ahasuerus. Thank you.
Yep.
And was a Mede. That made me think of Esther, so I checked the timelines. Darius began his rule in 522 B.C., and Esther is listed much later in 478 B.C. Esther married, say that again for me.
Ahasuerus,
thank you, who ruled from India to Ethiopia. My question is, if you suppose that... I'm not going to get that word for some
grace
reason.
Grace on you, man.
Is a kingly name. Could God have been weaving the Jewish and Gentile lines as a picture of our unity in Christ? It may be a complete coincidence, but I think God is very intentional in his details.
Yeah, again,
that's kind of interesting.
It is. Let me give some background to it. First of all, it may very well be, Alexa. There could be something here where, you know, God is kind of giving that picture of Jew and Gentile together. I can't deny that. I think it would be hard to say, yes, that's what God's doing. Because you definitely see a connection here of the Jew and the Gentile bringing Esther in and being married to the Gentile king there. But there have been other Gentiles and Jews that have been linked throughout history that didn't necessarily show the Jews and Gentiles coming together in some type of prophetic or biblical way. So again, I guess, you know, we'll have to wait to see what God says on that one. It's kind of hard to nail down. But I will say this. No doubt God is weaving the Jews and Gentiles together. And we see that even with the Jew and Gentile church and coming together, God's going to do that. And we're going to have Jew and Gentile together in heaven. So that is a definite true observation there. But just so you know, also historically, Ahasuerus and Darius were both like president. They were titles of whoever it could be. There were like three Ahasuerus's. There was more than one Darius. So you have, it'd be like President Trump and President this and President
that. Or like
that.
Herod.
Yeah, or Herod. It was a title. It wasn't really a name. It was a title. So the distance on the times of Esther in 478 and Darius in 522, again, I didn't look at the dates of these to see if they were the two different Darius, but there was a Darius the first and Darius the second. And then there was a Darius in VeggieTales. I'm not sure which Darius that was, if you saw that episode with Daniel. That was Darius the first. I'm just kidding. But either way. Yeah, so don't get too on the Ahasuerus and the Darius. Don't get too caught up on the timelines. If you want to find out which one was which, you got to go look at the actual history, get the timelines of when they ruled, because it was a title and there were multiple Darius and multiple Ahasuerus. And like I said, as far as the Jew and Gentile together, I find that intriguing to see that picture that God gives there. We know that he's doing that, but whether or not that's what God was doing here, I think I don't know that I can say for sure either way.
If you've got a question like Chandler and Alexis, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click Signs of the Times, and you can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. As Signs of the Times rolls on, we'll roll into some growing anti-Semitism. Our first article comes from Israel National News, dated July 27th. This is just sick.
Yeah.
This is from Athens, Greece. Israeli tourist's ear has been bitten off in an anti-Semitic attack.
Yeah, I just think even if you really hated someone, biting a body part off seems so gross, you wouldn't want to do it, especially because you hated them. But I don't think they bit his whole ear off, but listen to what it says. A Syrian man attacked an Israeli tourist near Athens, Greece, over the weekend and bit off part of the victim's ear, Ynet reported. The victim, who was identified as Stav Ben Shushan, stated that the attack occurred while he and his wife were engaged in conversation with another Israeli couple. The assailant approached the two couples and began shouting anti-Israel slogans, including Free Palestine, which doesn't exist, Curse Israel, and I am Hamas, expressing solidarity with genocidal terrorist organizations that massacred 1,200 people and kidnapped 250 more during the October 7th massacre. The attacker threw sand at the couples, after which Ben Shushan pushed him away. The security guards at the beach noticed the incident and separated the attacker from the two Israeli couples. According to Ben Shushan, the attacker returned after an hour and attempted to assault his wife. And so Ben Shushan attempted to defend her.
So he came back for another ear.
He left. Well, I think this is when it happened, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't happen until this.
Okay.
You know, he attempted to defend her during the altercation. Then the attacker bit off part of his ear. You know, I again, just the hatred that they have for the Jewish people just because they're Jews. And, you know, I don't know how much you hope it was only a small amount. I don't think you could, you probably, maybe if you got it soon enough, you could reattach part of an ear. I don't know, because the blood flow is so small.
Or depending on how little it could be taken care of with plastic surgery. I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, I just, again, you know, it's this is that hatred that has no
yes.
explanation. It's just a hatred of the Jews. And there you have it.
All right, our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated July 27th. Hundreds of rabbis demand Israel stop, quote-unquote, using starvation as a weapon of war.
Yeah, see, this is the stuff, and we're going to talk about this for a moment. There are so many
lies.
Well,
there's another article that folds in our corruption that's going to really touch on this more.
Yes. Well, again, you know, there's so many tricks going on here, Greg, that are just false about what's happening. You know, and I would just say, silly rabbi, tricks are for kids. But either way, you have to be a certain age to even know what that means. But
that's
let me read
funny.
This.
Yes.
Hundreds of rabbis worldwide have signed a letter calling for Israel to stop using starvation as a weapon of war. By the way, they're not.
They're not.
And bring home the hostages and end the fighting in Gaza. It's signatory. Again, here's the thing that gets me. These are Jews against Jews.
Well, that just kind of reminds me of the Hasidim.
The Orthodox fight themselves, the non-Orthodox. You look at Edom, you look at the Jews throughout history, Greg, fighting themselves. And I think sometimes they do this even today. We see these movements where you'll see Jews for Palestine. They're in there fighting against their own Jewish people, and they think that somehow it's going to endear them and they're going to like them. No, they will turn on you. The moment they have the ability to do so, they'll turn on you like they do everyone else. It doesn't matter what group you think you're standing with. I think they do it out of... to look like they're open to right and wrong, and we don't care if it's our group.
They're enlightened.
It's just unbelievable.
They're darkened.
It's like Doeg. Remember Doeg again turning in David with Saul? And it's like,
and he thought he was going to be a good guy for doing that.
Yeah, and it brought destruction on their own people. Matter of fact, it was the rabbis, it was the priests that were put to death. Remember right after that, and Doeg was the one that put him to death. Anyway, it says the signatories wrote this, the text read this, are deeply committed to the well-being of Israel and the Jewish people. But... we cannot keep silent in the face of Gaza's growing death toll and rising malnutrition. Okay, they know they're lying. They know the truth over there in Israel. So what this tells me is this is political, because they know that Israel is not starving anyone. Israel's doing everything they can to get food supplies in, but it is a war. And the UN is stopping the most. They're the ones that are the most guilty of stopping supplies getting in. And then when supplies get in, Hamas steals them. But anyway, the letter was published as a global concern intensified over mounting reports of starvation and lack of food in the war-torn enclave. You know, Witkoff just went over there and is with Netanyahu going into Gaza, or whoever he went in with, Netanyahu or someone else. And he's going to give President Trump a report from being there. I'm glad, because President Trump has been saying things like this starvation has got to stop, or this kind of, he's been deceived. So I'm anxious. Now Witkoff's going to see it firsthand. He'll go back and tell President Trump and this nonsense will stop. But the letter was published as global concern intensified over the many reports of lack of food in the war-torn enclave. And by the way, it's a war. You're going to have lack of food, but it's not because of lack of food. It's those fighting it. The UN and Hamas are the ones causing the problem. Israel is letting the aid in, and they're sending aid themselves. These guys are just shutting it down, and then they're lying about it in the press. It is one of the most prominent, it says, examples of Jewish and pro-Israel leaders publicly endorsing those concerns and demanding that Israel address them. The Hamas-run health ministry has said deaths from hunger are rising sharply in Gaza. That's just not true. Hundreds of aid groups have called the situation a humanitarian catastrophe and called on Israel to let in more supplies, and dozens of world leaders have called on Israel to end the war. Israeli authorities have pushed back on those claims, denying that the IDF is causing starvation in the Strip and blaming the United Nations and Hamas for the obstacles providing aid to civilians. So I'll wait to further extrapolate on this, Greg, until we go to the next article. But these things are just false.
Yeah. All right, as we look at pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, we will turn our attention to an All Israel News article dated July 28th. According to a report, mainstream media has deliberately used images of Palestinian children with genetic diseases to push the Gaza famine stories.
Yes, this is a propaganda campaign to make it look like Israel is starving out Gaza. It is a lie.
Well, it's them plus Hamas.
It is.
Who's stealing the food.
Well, yeah, again, Israel has not only sent stuff in, Greg, they have let loads and loads. There's stuff rotting right now right outside of Gaza. The UN won't take it in. And then when they're
afraid to go in.
And then when they do take it in, you're right. They show on the videos coming out, Hamas is stealing it. So am I admitting that there may be some people that are not getting to the food the way they should in
Absolutely.
Some areas? Yeah, because number one, it's a war. Number two, Hamas is doing it. They're stealing from their own people.
Yep.
But this is not the blame of Israel. They're doing everything they can to let aid in, to get aid in, and to help. And I'm going to read another statistic here in just a moment after I read this. A new report by independent investigative journalist David Collier alleges that the mainstream media willingly used the image of a child with cerebral palsy as the lead image for stories about a supposed deliberate famine in Gaza. They're showing these children, Greg, that not only have other conditions as to why they're skinny, and even from other places that aren't even in Gaza.
Yeah, I believe
And they're
it.
Showing it going,
yes.
and from years back, saying, look what's happening. It's all lies and propaganda.
Lies, yep.
According to the mainstream media outlets, such as the BBC, Sky News, The Guardian, CNN, and New York Times, and Daily Mail, the condition of Mohammed, the boy in the striking images, was due to the desperate conditions of Gaza. His pictures were used to depict the severity of the famine situation in Gaza. However, Collier says those stories did not mention Mohammed's pre-existing condition of cerebral palsy, which often leads to severe malnutrition as children with the condition have difficulty eating. None of the major news sources mention Mohammed's cerebral palsy, with most indicating within the body of the article or in the photo description that Mohammed's condition was due to severe malnutrition. Well, yes, but not because of Israel, because of cerebral palsy. CNN did not address the issue of Mohammed's genetic illness in a video aired separately from the photo story about the Gaza food shortage. In that video, CNN notes Mohammed suffers from a muscular disorder. However, the photo used in the story about a famine in Gaza states in the description that Mohammed faces life-threatening malnutrition as the humanitarian situation worsens due to ongoing Israeli attacks and blockade. Not true. And I quote, a photo of a 5-year-old Osama al-Rakab, this is another one, has gone viral, used to falsely depict Israel as responsible for his condition, claiming Israel is starving children. Kojat posted on X, Osama suffers, they said, from a serious genetic illness as well, unrelated to the war, just like Mohammed. On June 12th, we actively coordinated Osama's exit from Gaza with his mother and brother through the Ramon Airport. He's now receiving treatment in Italy. So what they're doing is they're showing these children that have these other conditions and pretending it's because Israel's starving them or other starvation. It's not even anyone starving. Even Hamas isn't guilty in this. It's just their genetic condition. I want to read something to our listeners so you know. Listen, a Wall Street Journal, just today, in the Wall Street Journal, listen to what it says. Gaza starvation photos tell 1,000 lies. That's a headline in the Wall Street Journal today.
Huh.
Listen to what it says. Hamas propaganda exploits seriously ill children, and Western media is going along. Since October 7th, Israeli has facilitated the entry into Gaza of more than 1.86 million tons of humanitarian assistance, more than 78% of which has been food. The population of Gaza is about 2.1 million. The only, and by the way, they're saying this would feed the population there for years and years, okay? The only comparable effort in modern history of a food delivery that Israel is letting in is the Berlin airlift of 1948 and 49, during which the Allies delivered 2.3 million tons of supplies to 2.5 million West Berliners over a 15-month period. But even then, the aid was going to an allied population. So again, Israel has facilitated record-breaking food supplies for Gaza. It's been blocked by the UN, it's been blocked by Hamas, and it's been lied about by the entire world in order to create a hatred of the Jews and give a false propaganda picture. And Satan is the one behind all of it. It is maddening, it is frustrating, and it is just simply untrue.
Our next article comes from Ynet News, dated July 28th. According to them, Israel is facing an unprecedented drought crisis as a water shortage looms.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. They go through these water drought shortages every so many years in Israel. And the last time we went, actually, Greg, they were doing great.
I was going to say, I don't remember the last time they had one.
Well, it hasn't been that long, but the last huge one they had is when they found that boat. So it actually had a great result in that they found that boat, the Galilean boat there, you know, that was 2,000 years old. But they did have another one, I believe, since then.
So that would be prior to 2006.
That's old. And yeah, but they had another one since then where it kind of went down. And they were just really blessed and had lots of supply the last time we were there. I mean, the Sea of Galilee was teeming. It was up. And now it's kind of down. We're about to go here in a month, so it'll be interesting to see if they get rain before then. But this is a big deal. Remember, they have to have water to survive because it's desert conditions without water there. It says Israel is grappling with record-breaking temperatures and dwindling water sources, with northern streams drying up, the water authority sounding alarms over severe drought. Heizy Lifshitz, the authority's director, warns that the situation is nearing catastrophic levels. The water authority has already declared a drought, the worst in a century, according to Lifshitz. He bases his assessment on precise data, noting that northern water sources are critically low, with the Banias stream nearly dry. That's the Banias streams up there, Panias streams up north. While their B's and P's sound the same, so it's called both, depending on where you're from. While the authority tracks the crisis, the finance minister holds the power to declare an economic and agricultural drought, a step yet to be taken. They warned that unlike Spain, where a drought 2 years ago drove up olive oil prices, Israel's olive crops simply vanish when water runs out. So it's not about prices going up. They don't have any. The agricultural ministry must step in to support the affected farmers. So they're in a serious situation. Pray for Israel to get rain. Lord, give them rain. So we need to be praying for them. Remember that, believers out there listening.
All right. Our next article comes from Breitbart. Tsunami warnings fading after one of the largest earthquakes ever recorded.
Yes.
And of course, this is an ongoing story, so yes. Not too sure what the latest is on all of that.
Not to be confused with a tsunami warning when you don't get your room clean by the time she said have it clean.
Yes.
That's a
tsunami warning.
Tsunami warning. You better get it done or you're about to have a flood of consequences. This is a tsunami warning that, again, they thought because of this earthquake that happened in Russia, which, by the way, I think now has been blamed on President Trump and Israel. I'm not sure. If it hasn't been, it will be.
It
so
will
be watching
shortly.
The headlines.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's because Trump put his foot down.
Yes.
And so there was an earthquake. You know, I really haven't heard, Greg, and I'll read this. I haven't really heard any catastrophes from this, or there's bound to be I haven't heard about major damage or deaths. I'm shocked at how silent you would think something this large,
right,
there would be massive catastrophe and deaths, but it seems like it didn't really affect things that
Although
much.
That earthquake was pretty big. 8.8 is one of the largest on record.
Fifth largest in recorded history.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, again,
so you would have expected something to come from that, right?
I have to believe there's major damage. I don't know why we're not hearing it. I would have to believe there's some deaths. I don't know why. Maybe it's an area of Russia where there aren't many people. Again, either way, it says one of the century's most powerful earthquakes struck off the coast of Russia and generated tsunami warnings and advisories for a broad section of the Pacific, including Alaska, Hawaii, and the U.S. West Coast, and as far south as New Zealand. Now warnings are being downgraded in most areas, though advisories remain in place as more aftershocks are possible. The quake registered a magnitude 8.8. That's just incredible. It was centered off the coast of the peninsula there in Russia's far east, the Kamchatka Peninsula, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. It struck early Wednesday local time, which is still Tuesday in the U.S. Now, a little bit about this. Remember, Signs of the Times listeners, Matthew 24, you're going to see earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. I saw just before the broadcast that announcement that they looks like China, they're going to take Taiwan, they're saying. We'll see if they really do. Russia threatened America, so President Trump just moved two nuclear submarines into position. That just came across the wire right before we started. So, again, don't panic. What I'm saying is we're not going to be destroyed by nuclear war. I'm not saying there couldn't be some that goes off somewhere, but we're not going to be destroyed that way. The Bible's clear. But with that said, remember, it says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes in various places. There's going to be famines, droughts, all the things we're talking about. It doesn't mean these things have always not been there. They have. There have always been famines and drought and all these different things. What the Lord was saying was you're going to see this increasing steadily, and then there's going to be a jump in more intensity in them. And he said it'll be like a woman in birth pangs, and we know how that goes. It starts out gradual, and then the contractions get larger and more frequent. They start having closer and closer together, getting larger and larger. What he's saying is, as we get closer to his return, you're going to see more and more flooding. You're going to see more and more earthquakes. You're going to see more and more tensions and wars and rumors of wars. But you're also going to see them, because they've always been there, you're also going to see them more intense. So you're going to be looking for 8.8 earthquakes. Now, again, there's been 9.2. There have been larger ones. But you're going to see it happening more often. So don't be surprised by this. This is just the beginning. He said, this is the beginning of sorrows when you begin to see these things happen, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So, you know, we don't panic, and I don't get excited about these catastrophes, but we get excited about seeing God's word coming to pass, because when we see these things, he said, look up, your redemption draws nigh, and we realize the Lord's about to come back. He can come back at any moment. We need to be ready. And we may finish with that here in just a moment. We need to be ready.
All right, our good news article this week comes to us courtesy of crosswalk.com. 6,500 people accept Jesus in a packed stadium as Greg Laurie declares there's a spiritual hunger in America.
This is huge. I mean, I don't know how this compares. I don't have the numbers of his other campaigns that he's done, this evangelistic outreach he's done. But I mean, Greg, 6,500 people, whether or not they all truly meant it or didn't, people can argue about that. But to come up and say they want to give their life to the Lord, this is a great move. God moved here in a great way, regardless of how you read the numbers. This is unbelievable. And Greg has been used for so many years. I remember going to, years and years and years and years ago, to Anaheim Stadium to a conference. We took our youth there from Santa Fe, and God's using him in just tremendous ways. There's such a great anointing on Greg Laurie. It says some 6,500 made a profession of faith Saturday night during a large-scale evangelistic event that packed Angel Stadium and saw many turned away at the gate.
Wow.
The stadium typically sees baseball fans standing and cheering their hometown team, the Anaheim Angels. But during the Harvest Crusade on Saturday, thousands streamed down the aisles to accept Christ as the featured speaker, Pastor Greg Laurie, urged the crowd to respond to the call of the gospel. A capacity crowd, 45,500, filled the stadium. Wow. I wonder how many the stadium holds.
Well, it said capacity.
Yeah, but they usually back it up. You can't get it behind. I don't think they put them behind him.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Meanwhile, more than 500 radio stations broadcast the event. And 200,000 watched online. If I'd have known about it, we'd have put it on 101.1. And 200,000 watched online. It also included performances by Christian artist Chris Tomlin, We Are the Kingdom, Brooke Ligertwood, and the husband and wife team Cody Carnes and Carrie Job Carnes. So we all think that we'll just live forever, Laurie told the crowd while recounting the story of his son, Christopher, who died in an automobile accident at age 33.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared to meet God tonight? As Laurie gave the invitation, a steady stream of people flowed onto the field to hear more about the gospel. So many, in fact, that the fire marshal was eventually forced to close access due to overcrowding. Harvest Crusade said it was one of the best responses we've seen in 35-plus years of the event. Isn't that great? Look what God's doing right now in the last days. There's a spiritual hunger in our nation, he said, and there's a spiritual hunger in California, which is amazing, said Laurie, who serves as pastor of Harvest Church, which is based in the state. Again, Calvary Chapel out there. I haven't given up on California, and I believe that God wants to do another great work in this state that we call the Golden State. The last great spiritual awakening happened here in this state, California, and I pray it will happen again. God has worked, and we know many others have made a commitment to follow Christ, watching online or listening in other outlets, and so we just say, to God be the glory. Imagine how many people made commitments online. On social media, Laurie called the response a taste of heaven. Again, I do believe, Greg, in the last days, we're going to see God giving that last call, calling people in to come in to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. And what a great way to end that good news story, how God used that crusade there in California. And here's the thing. The same Spirit of God is working right now in those listening to us. Now, we haven't had a time of worship. I'm not a gifted evangelist. But at the same time, for those of you listening right now to our broadcast that don't know the Lord, maybe God has convicted you, don't know the Lord. Maybe you even thought you were a Christian. Right now, God is calling for you to give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Maybe prophetically, listening to what's happening in the world and hearing it in the Bible, hearing about God's love. The Bible says that God came to earth. First of all, that man are sinners. We have all fallen from God's glory because we're guilty of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that. So that means we need to be saved. And the Bible says we can't do that on our own because it takes perfect blood, perfect man's blood, to pay for man's sinful blood and man's sinful sin. So we now give our life to the Lord. The Bible says God came in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He shed his blood for your sins and my sins. He rose again 3 days later. And if you confess your sins and repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died and paid for your sins and rose again from the grave 3 days later, if you do that and believe in your heart and receive him, the Bible says you will be born again. And right now you can be added to those numbers, not only from that event that happened there, but right now on the radio and in heaven forever. So I encourage you, pray that prayer right now. Just tell the Lord, I confess my sin. I believe you died for my sin on that cross. I believe you rose again 3 days later. I turn from my sin. I give my life to you, Jesus. And if you do that, you will be born again. Make that commitment. Make that prayer. And if you do that, call us here at Calvary Chapel, 609-1385, 865-609-1385. Let us know so we can pray with you and give you some materials to get you started in your walk with Christ.
All right, Pastor Mark, thank you. And thank you, folks, for listening. Next Friday at 1:30, more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.
IAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
Here's a look at your East Tennessee weather here on WIAM.
Partly sunny sky with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. A high this afternoon in the mid to upper 80s. Isolated showers and storms tonight. Overnight low near 70. Showers with occasional storms returning on Saturday. A high low to mid 80s. And then Sunday we'll see showers, a chance of thunderstorms. Our high temperatures on Sunday approaching 80 degrees. Taking a peek at the beginning of the week, just an isolated shower or thunderstorm